Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I want to welcome you to our Cherokee Baptist Church live stream. We have, because of coronavirus, had to cancel all of our church activities until December 16th. And so we are glad to have the ability to make our church live stream available on the internet to YouTube and to have you join with us. So welcome. If you would, there are a number of links in the descriptions and information that will be helpful to you. First of all, you'll find a place where you can access a digital bulletin. And if you will scroll down to the bottom of that digital bulletin, you can find a place where you can let us know that you're worshiping with us. It's called a connection card. You can also, in that description, in the YouTube description below the video, you can find a place to share prayer requests. You'll also be able to find the address for sending in your tithes and offerings, and then also a place where you can send in tithes and offerings, and then also offerings for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. At this point, we have received $500 toward our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal of $6,500 for our church. A couple of final links that you can find in the description area and the YouTube links below. You can find a link to where, if you would like to purchase a way to pray, and this is a biblical method for enriching your prayer life, you're able to, along with Matthew Henry from long past, a Puritan from many years ago, pray verses of Scripture. And this is a fantastic resource. Also, you'll find a link to purchase a Scripture storyline book. And this is a way to read the Bible in the year 2021. But you'll find links to these books below in the description. But then also, if you would like to sign up for daily emails, instead of getting a book, you can sign up for daily emails for the Scripture storyline. Just to let you know our order of worship this morning, we're about to watch a video that's going to remind us of our tithes are used also. Part of our tithe goes to international missions. But at this time of year, we also receive the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, 100% of it goes toward mission efforts in the foreign field. And so we're going to watch a video that's going to remind us how important prayer is for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and also giving toward the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Then I'll say a word of prayer. Then we'll have a time of worship led by our own James Sturgeon. James, we're glad you're here with us today. Then I'll share from God's Word with us, and then we'll have a prayer time. And I'll say a blessing over us, and then we'll be dismissed. So at this time, we're going to watch a video. The camera is going to be redirected to the screen a few times as we progress through the service. Hopefully that doesn't bother you, but that's how we're going to be able to make everything available at this time. So if you'll wait just a moment, we'll transition the camera over to the screen. You'll watch a video on the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Thank you. Father, we thank you that we are able to meet when there's not other circumstances like Corona. We are able to freely meet and to worship you and to fellowship with other believers. We're grateful for the fellowship of the saints, for your church. Father, we know that here in America, we are truly a blessed people. So we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who do not enjoy the same freedoms that we do. We pray that as they meet together today to enjoy fellowship, to sing your praises, to enjoy hearing from your word, that their hearts would be filled with joy, that you would give them strength to continue their walk with you and to reach out to others around them with the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for these foreign missionaries, even though we don't know their names, and we don't specifically give to them. They are missionaries where they are. We pray that you would give them the grace they need to sustain them from day to day. We pray that you would multiply their ministry, that you would raise up more just like them that are willing to reach out the good news of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear it. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus.
Joy to the world, the Lord. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory and Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, of unbroken praise. Fields and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadows, flashing sea, chanting birds and flowing fountains call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, spring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music, lead us onward in the triumph song of life.
Father God, we thank you that you planned before time began to come and be our Savior. Prophesied way, way back that a Savior would be born to us. And so this morning, Father, we just rejoice in that fact. That our joy is not found in the circumstances of our world, but it's found in you and your faithfulness.
Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sin, release us. Let us find our rest in thee, Israel's strength and us to thy glory.
I want to invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35. While you're turning there, I'm going to light our Advent candles. First week of Advent, we lit the hope of that candle of hope. Last week, we lit the candle of love, and this week, we light the candle of joy. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. And this is God's word. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like the deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Our gracious God, in the time in which we live right now, how these words just wash over us, remind us that there will be a day when we are just so filled with gladness and joy, we won't know what to do. We look forward to that day, for it seems that the days in which we live grow darker and darker. We look forward to the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to look upon Him face to face and to find the fullness of joy that's promised to us in the Scriptures. Father, turn our hearts to Jesus today. Remind us that our joy is in Him. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's the time of year when we like to listen to Christmas songs, Christmas carols, and you've probably heard the old Christmas song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. It's a song that was written and recorded in 1943. You probably associate the song with Bing Crosby. And the song, if you're not aware about the background of the song, having been written during World War II, it was a song that American troopers deployed on the foreign soil of battle could listen to that song, and it would make their hearts yearn for home. It also made them understand fully the word anticipation, both they and their families. As families anticipated the day when their loved one would return home from the battlefield, hopefully, safely, and the time when the loved one that's deployed could go home to his family. This is a time of year when we understand the word anticipation. We're looking forward to Christmas Day, to being with family. Hopefully you'll be able to be with your family. We look forward to good food and a time of joy together, opening of presents. Anticipation is not limited to this time of year or any particular season. Sometimes we have anticipation about the birth of a child. I can remember before Reagan was born, I was just so looking forward to meeting this girl that I had been talking to for 9 months. And when she was born, it was a time of great joy. I can still go back and look at the pictures of me bringing her out to my family, and my eyes are filled with tears. It still gives me great joy. I remember the anticipation of marrying the former Stephanie DeBoom, and the anticipation of seeing her walk down the aisle, her father bringing her to me. And this is a time in Isaiah 35, a time in Israel's history where we get a glimpse forward into a day of anticipation that's going to dawn in a dark age. Of course, we know that the prophets, oftentimes when they went to God's people, they didn't have a good message. And Israel had been falling on hard times spiritually for a long time. In fact, Isaiah had been sent to the people to warn them that exile was coming. There would be a day of darkness that would come when Assyria fell upon the land and carried away the people. But this particular text anticipates a day in the future that will dawn in the midst of that darkness. A day that God's ransomed and redeemed, anticipated in the future. It would be like a light that shone in a dark place. And the light that they anticipated was God actively revealing His glory. As I was studying this week, I noticed a connection in the Scriptures. And it's also a connection that we ourselves as Christians need to make. And it's the connection between God revealing His glory and the joy that it brings His people when He does so. So I want us to notice in the text that when Isaiah predicts this day in the future, that it is a time when God actively reveals His glory. And when He does, notice what happens. It brings transformation and abundant life. Now the text gives us three areas in which God brings transformation and abundant life when He reveals His glory. The first we find in verses 1 and 2, but then also we find it in verse 6 and 7. It's a transformed place. Notice how this dark time is described, this future dark time is described in terms of a place, a wilderness. It's like a wilderness. It's like a dry land, a desert. And also in verse 6, there's a wilderness. There's a desert, burning sand, verse 7, thirsty ground, a place where there's the haunt of jackals. But notice when the glory of God shines upon this place, it brings transformation. A place that once could be described as death, now God's glory brings life. Notice verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon, which Lebanon was along the coast. It was a place where there were lush forests. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to this wilderness, this dry land, this desert. The majesty of Carmel, which was a mountain right by the ocean, the Mediterranean Sea, and Sharon, which was a big plain to the south of Mount Carmel. And so what's being described here is this unbelievable transformation, where this area that looked like death now flows with abundant life. But also, the text describes a transformed people. Verse 5. It describes them first as blind, deaf. There's the man who is lame, and the tongue that is mute. But when God's glory dawns, not only is the place transformed, but people are transformed. The eyes of the blind are opened. The ears of the deaf are unstopped. And the lame man leaps like a deer. Being deer season, we know what that's all about. And the tongue of the mute is unstopped and is able to sing for joy. When God's glory dawns upon this dark place, there's transformed people. They're transformed from lives of brokenness to lives of exuberant wholeness. And finally, when God actively reveals His glory, there is a transformed path. Notice in verse 8, it speaks of a highway. Now, a highway talks not about a path, not about a road that people have made on their own in terms of they just walked along it, kind of beat it down through travel. This talks about something that is constructed for a particular purpose. And it sets up above the area surrounding it. It's a highway. And this highway is a way of holiness. Now notice how it's talked about in the former time, where the unclean could be on this place. It could be a place where there's fools. It could be a place of danger because of lion and ravenous beast. But that's not how this place will be. This path will be transformed. As the unclean, verse 8 says, shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Talking about God's ransomed and redeemed. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. Now this particular verse could be translated a couple of ways. One makes it sound as if There won't be fools wander onto the way. There'll have to be something happened to them in order for them to be allowed to travel on the way. Another way, which the ESV seems to emphasize, is even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. In other words, they won't be able to wander off the path. There's some security there. Verse 9 talks about the lion being gone and the ravenous beast being gone. They won't be found there, but the redeemed will be there. The ransomed, they shall return and come to Zion with singing. It says that everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There's a ring. Did you hear that ring? Sorry, a little bit of a ring here, and we're trying to get that adjusted. But what the people are anticipating here, when they hear what Isaiah has to say, what his prophecy points to, is a day in the future where light dawns in the darkness and God actively reveals his glory and brings transformation and abundant life. But that transformation and abundant life lead to joy for God's people. Notice, in the transformed place, it says these areas of death and dryness, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. These transformed people, it says in verse 6, the lame man will leap like the deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. And then finally, when the ransomed of absolute joy. And when they draw people into their relationship, their love, their joy, and it transforms a person's life and produces joy in them, and the person just glows with the glory of the Lord, and joy flows out of them toward the Lord, it's joy returning to its source. We're saying they lost all sound online. I'm going to keep preaching. Now, it's important to understand here as we study. It speaks here about, they'll see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Verse 4, behold your God, the recompense of God. Speaking about God. However, what the Israelites would have understood is that Isaiah is speaking about a coming Messiah, one who would come in the future, a way that God would specifically reveal his glory through his anointed king. Well, we know who that is. That anointed king is Jesus. And so
before Jesus arrived, I think we can understand that these people, knowing that Jesus was coming, they had in their minds an idea of what the Messiah would do when he came. He was going to kick out Rome. He was going to come and sit on the throne of David. And they were going to rule, and the nations were going to come to them and experience the glory of the Lord in that way. But when Jesus came to earth, John chapter 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. But it also says that when Jesus came into this world, the people did not recognize who He was. In fact, His own people, who were anticipating His arrival, did not even recognize who He was, because they had a different view in mind, a different idea about how they wanted the Messiah to come. But when Jesus came, just as John said, they beheld His glory. And He displayed the glory of God. Jesus Himself said, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." In other words, Jesus is saying, if you look upon Me, you're seeing the glory of the Father. And so where Jesus performed His earthly ministry, He transformed the places where He went. Isaiah chapter 9, and it's echoed in the Gospels, speaks about light coming to a dark place. The area of Galilee, the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, it says that light has shone in the darkness. So when Jesus arrived on the scene and began to minister publicly in Galilee, He transformed places. Not like we might imagine as described here in Isaiah, where wilderness becomes a place of great life. But He did heal. He transformed people. He shone the light of the Spirit of God wherever He went. And He Himself said about a transformed path, He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." So Jesus transformed places and people and had a transformed path. And these were all realized in a way that people weren't expecting. And although Jesus would meet with resistance as He ministered, oftentimes people that encountered Him and saw His glory, they went away rejoicing. But Jesus' earthly ministry, even though it's hugely important to us as Christians, we also think about His personal ministry to each of us, how He brought the glory of God and revealed it to us personally. The Scriptures talk about how we have been moved or brought from death to life. At one point, spiritually, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we were raised to life along with Jesus Christ. When Jesus revealed God's glory to us, it brought us from brokenness to wholeness. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. In other words, even though outwardly we're still experiencing the brokenness of this world and the brokenness of our sinful bodies, Jesus has glorified God in our lives and has begun a work of transformation. We have gone from death to life. We are a new creation. And Jesus has brought us from separation to reunion. We were at enmity with God in our trespasses and sins. We could not have a personal relationship with Him. We could not enjoy fellowship and communion with Him. But because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God brought sinful people from separation from God to reunion and reconciliation with God. All of these different ways that Jesus revealed God's glory to us in His personal ministry to us, in bringing us from death to life, what does it produce in us? Joy. When we see what God is doing in us as a new creation, The old is gone. The new is come. The broken is gone. Wholeness is here. It brings joy to our lives. And knowing that we have been brought back into a relationship with our Father, that we were separated before, now we are reconciled in reunion with Him again, that brings great joy. So when we think about Jesus coming as Messiah, we remember His earthly ministry and Him glorifying God there. We remember Jesus' own personal ministry to us and how He glorified God in our lives. But at this season of the year in Advent, we remember Jesus' future ministry to His redeemed. I don't know about you, and I know it comes up over and over and over, and we're probably tired of talking about it. But I think we're ready for the calendar to roll on 2020. And to hope that 2021 is better than 2020. I know I do. But 2021 has nothing on what God has prepared for His people one day. Advent, we look backwards at Jesus' first coming, and we look upon it with joy. We look upon Jesus' future coming, and we look upon it with joy, as we know that the things that we see in Isaiah 35, even though they were meant for a specific group of people in a specific time, we will be able to be grafted into the joy of what happens when Jesus returns, when God truly transforms the dead places and makes them blossom abundantly. Where there's death, now there's abundant life. We look forward to God transforming this broken world. We look forward to being released from this body of sin, this body of decay and brokenness, and taking on our glorified body. And we look forward to being able to be in the very presence of our Father, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we can experience great joy right now, but nothing will compare with the fullness of joy we will experience one day when we lay eyes upon our Savior. And I do look forward to that day. But I wonder, if 2020, and again, we get tired of talking about it. I understand that. I wonder if 2020, with all the little losses, big losses, little losses that we've encountered, if it hasn't produced in us maybe a lack of anticipation. We don't look as forward as much to the future because we've experienced so much disappointment. And could it be that one thing that 2020 has done for all of us is to show us how we have settled for the lesser joys connected to the lesser glories of this world? Romans, Paul talks about in Romans, the early part of Romans, how people exchanged the glory of God for created things. Exchanged the glory of God for created things. In other words, they didn't want the glory of God in their lives. They didn't want to behold Him. They wanted what they could see and feel and touch and taste and hear. In a lot of ways, we've had some of those things just jerked from us. Those things produce joy in us. Not that it's wrong for us to enjoy the things of life, whatever those may be that have been taken from you. We just must make sure that we haven't exchanged the glory of God for created things. Because when we do, what do we experience? We experience emptiness, a sense of longing, this sense of chasing after something, this sense of the world being fractured, and we're distracted, and we're disappointed, and we're discontented, and we're disconnected. This season, this time of year, right here, right now, December 13th, 2020. I want you to stop and remember. I want us to stop and remember that the joy of the glory that we anticipate is tied to the glory of God displayed in the past and the hope of God's glorious promises in the future. Now, if we would say to the Lord right now in this time of year, Lord God, show me your glory in the cross. Show me your glory in your Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, Moses said to God, he said, show me your glory. And God obliged him. And we can behold the glory of God in the face of Christ with spiritual eyes. And I would submit to you that we need to do that. I know we're anticipating his return, and we want to do that. But I think if we were to go back and spend time glorying in the cross of Christ, glorying in our Savior, looking full into his face, that would produce in us an anticipation. We would begin to wean ourselves off of the lesser joys that are tied to the lesser glories of this world. And our hearts would just yearn for the day when God transforms this place and we are transformed people and we are able to be with our Savior. And we would have an anticipation that's tied to God's glorious actions in the past and the hope of God's glorious promises in the future. And I think if we would allow God to do that, if we would yearn to know the glory of God in Jesus Christ, that would point our hearts towards anticipating Jesus' glorious return. When we think about anticipation, as I get closer to the end of this morning's sermon, we anticipate the return of Jesus. I want to ask you, do you anticipate Jesus coming in one of these two ways? And if so, which is it? You might anticipate Jesus' return sort of like, you know, your washer is broken down and you can't wash clothes. And so you call the repairman, and the repairman comes and he takes care of your problem. And then after the problem is fixed, then the repairman leaves. You don't really want you're not glorying in the repairman. You're glorying in the fact that the repairman has alleviated your problem. We could look at Jesus coming that way, or we could look at it like a wedding. I'll never forget when Stephanie began to walk down the aisle. I was shaking. I thought my knees were going to give way. But I had anticipated for so long the two of us being together. See, that's the difference between looking at Jesus as a repairman and looking at Jesus as the groom. You anticipate, you think about being with Jesus. And so when he comes, yes, he's going to take care of all the problems of this world. But even more so, we'll be able to be with him. Just like a person wants to be with their spouse. A person wants to be with their kids and they await the arrival of this new child. You know, if we would allow the glory of God revealed in Christ through the cross to ground us and anchor us right now so that our hearts are filled with joy. There's nothing, I don't think, that this world could throw at us that could ever steal our joy. I believe that's why the Holy Spirit speaking through Isaiah in verses 3 and 4 says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. And that's the day we look forward to. And it will seem more glorious in our eyes. We turn our eyes toward Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will go faintly dim in the light of his glory and grace. Christian, one day Your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and he will save you. That is cause for great joy. But if you're listening to us this morning, perhaps God coming with vengeance and recompense doesn't sound so good to you. Because when God comes, it will be, when God comes in Christ, through Christ, when Christ comes, it will be a time of judgment. You see, in order for things to be put right in this world, everything wrong's got to be done away with. And that means death, that means sickness, that means sinful people. All those will be done away with. The only thing that will exist in this new world, this new heaven, this new earth, is God's people in God's place enjoying God's blessing. That will be it. And so when God comes, will he come and save you, or will he come and condemn you? I want you to know that if you look, scroll down in the description below this video, you'll find a link to where you can go and click, a link that you can click on. It'll take you to our website. It will talk to you about how you can have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You want that. I pray you want that. I pray that God draws you to himself even now. But go and click on that link. Watch that video. Because it will tell you how you can experience joy as Jesus Christ glorifies himself, we pray, in your life, as you come to understand your need for Jesus, that you would put your faith and trust in him. I pray, Christian, that we would today in 2020 strengthen our weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Let's say to each other, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance. He will come with the recompense of God, and he will come and save us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for these glorious words that produce joy in our heart. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that these words will produce joy in people. We are in a dark place, Lord. We recognize that. It seems to be getting darker and darker. We need these words to wash over us and remind us that ever how bad it gets down here, you have a glorious future waiting for us. And if it's as glorious as what we think, let it produce in us great joy. Lord, help us to desire to see your glory. Lord Jesus, show us your glory. Father, we love you. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I do want to take just a few moments and share some prayer updates with you. Candace Henderson, our sister Candace, is still recovering from COVID. Her fever has broken and she is improving. We need to update you also on Wanda is headed down to Houston today, Wanda and Sam. So continue to pray for Sam and for Wanda. Also, we need to add Bodie Lucas to our prayer list. Bodie is the baby son of Heaven and Alan Lucas. He has a narrowed aorta, and he is in Cook Children's Hospital, and he's improving, and that is an answer to prayers. Charlene Brister is on our prayer list, and she is recovering from COVID and is still weak. Forrest McGregor is in the hospital on 71 with COVID. It's pretty serious. A friend of Ben Campbell, we need to add to our prayer list. His name's Larry Clark. He's in the Houston, in the hospital in Houston with serious complications for recent heart surgery. Also, you may or may not have heard, but Nell Foreman, her condition has worsened. She's received a diagnosis that's going to cause her to need to go to MD Anderson for some surgery related to cancer. We also need to pray for Red Zuloff, who had a knee replacement this week. And also for one of our teachers at school, Sadani Thornton, who has also contracted COVID. I want to remind you that in the description below the video, if you'd like to share some prayer requests with us, you can click on a link and do that. We would love to pray about these things for you. I want to say a final word of prayer. I'll say a blessing and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we lift up those that are on this prayer list today. We did not mention them all, but there are a number that we did. And we thank, Lord, of Wanda and Sam and of Chuck and Nell, and pray, God, that in the midst of fighting cancer, that you would show your glory to them, that you would be to them the anchor they need in this stormy sea. Pray that you would heal their bodies, give them strength to continue to fight. I pray that you would give Chuck and Sam strength, compassion that they need in order to help Nell and Wanda. And I pray that you'd give Nell and Wanda the courage to fight. Pray for those that are going to be continuing to minister to them in the medical field. Give them the wisdom that they need in order to give the right treatment. We pray for those that are battling COVID. Pray for Candace, for Charlene Brister, for Forrest McGregor, and for Sidonie Thornton. And Lord, the others that we mentioned here today, we lift them up to you as well. We trust that you, as the great physician and the all-wise God, know what they need. And so we pray that you meet their needs in accordance with your riches and glory. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up its countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a great day.